Hello and welcome to the Official Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast, episode 97, Games You Wish You Could Play Again for the First Time, with me, George, and as always joined by Bobby. Game You Wish You Could Remember to my Game You Wish You Could Forget Forever. How's it going, my good sir?
It's going good. It's going pretty good.
Excellent. Why don't we give the initiated and the uninitiated a rundown of how things are going to go? So, coming up, we've got some news, and in there, as always, there's a slice of Nintendo news, Bobby. There's a slice of PlayStation news, and there's a slice of Xbox news. You couldn't really ask for a more stable foundation on which to build the feature, which is this week games I've already forgotten. So this is the theme of the show. Mm-hmm. Games you wish you could forget so you could play for the first time all over again. And then the real deal. I'm talking Stingray. He turns up, all right? I don't know what he's been up to this week. Some clandestine operation. And he's going to show us the new releases. But before... Oh, no. How long has it been? I don't know the intro to my own show. What is this week?
What is what week?
It's obviously the forgetful week, isn't it?
It is. It's like basically we're forgetting the podcast so we can remember for the first time.
Yeah, but basically that's it. I'm navigating myself through by touch. At the end, I ask you what you're hoping to play. At the beginning, there's a guy I know. I think his name's Odd Cat, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
He needs to grip tight on something.
That wheel, baby.
What is it? We'll get him to grip to the wheel. I think that's safe. He's in charge of the show today because we can't remember anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Bobby, what have you been playing?
Sniper Elite 4 with my boy Marlon. We got to the fourth level. We did all the online already, so now just focusing on the collectibles. But I really wish I can sound like Carl. If there was a voice that can, I can, like, you know, make my own, it'll be his.
Why
he sounds like
this?
He sounds like a real man. You know, he'd be like, "There's a sniper 250 meters away. If I hold my breath, I can take him out." Super confident, super deep, super amazing.
He's got some real bass in his voice.
Yeah, when I talk, it sounds like Mickey Mouse. Let's be honest. So it's not, you know, it is what it is.
I wouldn't say Mickey Mouse.
All right. Well, Mickey Mouse when he first woke up in the morning.
Okay.
You know? What else did I play? That's it. I tried to auto pop the Avengers PS5 Platinum.
Oh, you cheeky little boy.
And every single trophy popped except for the fourth level. I don't understand, but you know, it's what it is. So I'm going to play to the fourth level of that game and then immediately delete it from existence from my PlayStation.
Wow.
And that's it. And I think today we might try to do We Were Here Together, but now it's Marlon's turn to do the hard part of the puzzles. So he was laughing at me struggling. Yeah. Now I'm going to laugh at him struggle.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because we can't continue until he does that. And he's been trying to avoid it, but we're not going to sit on 72%. Okay, completion. We need to get it done.
Wow.
So that's pretty much...
Is it just one run through you're going to need the other way around, or do you need to do like two run throughs?
No, we did everything already for the first run through.
Yeah.
And now it's just his turn. And then we'll get the opposite trophies that we got. And then that's a wrap. And then I heard there's a part four coming out, which I'm very excited about.
For you, they've almost been quicker to get than My Name's Mayo or Burly Men at Sea.
Yeah, Burly Men at Sea, I don't think I'll do. But My Name is Mayo 3, I'm all over that.
You need to do Burly Men at Sea.
I don't know. It's an
achievement machine basically wrapped up as trying to be a really highbrow game. It's an amazing game.
Yeah, I'd rather just do like something cheesy like My Name is Mayo. That's pretty much what I've done. What about you?
Oh, God. Well, you know. Finished Little Big Planet. Mm-hmm. Finally. And that was, as always with these games, the actual very last level was just a cakewalk. It wasn't even hard. And sometimes I'm like, I'd rather that just have been the last level, you know, with the last hard level you do. Because the cakewalk's a bit like, yeah. But that hasn't got cutscene, so I guess you kind of need to. Put in Little Big Planet 2, obviously, glutton for punishment, as I am. And I thought, first of all, the pace has sped up, which is pretty exciting because, you know, the speed that it moves at and the decisions you need to make are pretty cool. But the graphical fidelity is, it's two times better than it was on the last one. It looks great.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you've never played them, unless you're going for the platinum, which you can't unlock right now, I'd be all over that if I were you. Yeah. And I've been playing some Daxter on the PSP, which is like a little spin-off game, which is really, really cool. And then on the PSP as well, because this is the show from 2021. Been playing some Loco Roco, which is a bit weird, but it is at the same token.
Sounds crazy.
You're like this, have you not? You're like this little ball that you kind of steer around the level and you get bigger as you go, or you can split down into little separate parts, and that's how you navigate the puzzles. You basically tilt the screen with L and R, and that rolls him along. It's like a little ball sort of thing.
That's dope.
Yeah. And it's got this crazy Japanese music in the background and all like singing and stuff. It's, do you know what? It is, for a handheld game, it's pretty nicely done.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been rebuilding PSPs. It's like a little Ripperdox for PSPs at mine at the minute. Coming in, getting this thing bolted on, and they kick him out the door. And yeah, it's what we're doing. Like a machine. Again, Bobby, they came here for the latest cutting edge news, console news. And I'm telling them about the hottest handheld from a decade ago. Right. But they come here for the hottest news. And where do we get it from? We scour it. We literally get down into the granular level of the news and we scour this out with our bare hands. We scour the very darkest regions of the internet. So we go where you wouldn't go. We go the sort of dens of iniquity that you'd normally avoid. That's where me and Bobby hang out on the video game news scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's edgy stuff.
Just filling out with a coffee, just watching it go by.
Oh, we're just watching.
Yeah.
I thought we were down on our hands and knees, like scrubbing this out.
No, we are. When we see something, you know.
Oh, we're just, other than that, we're just chilling on the sidelines. I like that. I like to think that is slightly cooler than me rocking up with a penny on. You know,
yeah, like regular aprons. News. We don't need regular news. Oh, no. Wow. What's that down there? Let's go down there.
Down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Well, after that build up, got to hope that the news stands up to the script. Probably not going to. But Bobby, what you got in the post bag there first?
Time to update the update. CD Projekt Red has rolled out the first details of the next big Cyberpunk 2077 update, which is supposedly launching in the relatively near future. However, before we get into things, we caution against getting your hopes up. These initial improvements appear to be minor at best, but we assume the developer is working on a lot more. For starters, the game's absolutely terrible police system is being overhauled, at least to some degree. Instead of just spawning out of thin air the second you commit a crime, Night City's law enforcement will arrive on the scene in a more natural manner in cars. Sticking with cars, patch 1.2 will incorporate a way to rock your vehicle should you find yourself trapped on an awkward terrain. And that's about it for now. Hopefully these improvements are just the start and CG Projekt Red hits us with some impressive news in the future. There's no concrete timeline for when we can expect the update to release, but we have to imagine that it's currently in heavy development and testing.
There's your update. Make the police work update. 1.2.
It really do come out of nowhere. See, I like to think like they glitched into the system to appear next to you.
That's exactly what they did. Have you ever found the need to rock your vehicle? Surely just go away, bring it up again, and it appears around the corner intact.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I don't know why you... A way to rock your vehicle. That just is begging for more glitches, isn't it? Wow.
Okay. Listen, you can only lead a horse to water, you know?
I think you're absolutely right. That's how I feel. El Bicho shows me this barrel of water. It's like, that's the show. I'm like, what, you expect me to drink from that? Not going to happen. They're still trying, but one wonders at this point, what's the point? Sadly. But, yeah. I think all those that want to finish it have finished it and had a good time. And then all those that were never going to finish it anyway, probably still sat in its wrapper on the shelf. So it is what it is. Shame. We need control. We've had some varying reports on the Xbox Series S from different developers. Some have focused on it being easy to develop for, while others have cited concerns over it being a less powerful console compared to the Series X. A developer on Control Ultimate Edition has now shared some thoughts with a recent interview shedding some light into the development process of the console. Speaking to IGN developer Thomas Puha from Remedy was asked about the difficulties building the next-gen version of Control Ultimate Edition for multiple systems. According to him, the Series S understandably has some downsides to development, as it naturally dictates how all three versions should run. The Series S, well, it's no different from previous generations where the system with the lowest specs does end up dictating a few things that you've going to do, because you're going to have it run on the system, right? And that's very easy to say why. Don't you lower your resolution and texture quality and off you go. It's just nowhere near that simple. It sounds good when you say it, and every engine is built in a different way. This is like Mr. Rouse said last week, isn't it? About how they have to kind of build for the system, the lowest engine it's going to run on. Which I thought was interesting, because Control looks fantastic across all systems. But it depends on what... it depends on, are you making like an engine that's much more about being GPU bound or CPU bound? Which of the two you're taxing a whole lot more? Well, we kind of tax both, because we have lots of physics and we have lots of ray tracing effects. And then that's makes a huge, huge difference, especially on Series S. So it's a lot more difficult to engineer an old game to make sure it works on everything. Puha did go on to explain, now that Remedy is more aware of the requirements and knows what they're building for the future, development should go a lot smoother, but he still recognises how there's a lower barrier of entry for next gen and some compromises have to be made. Now that you're building the future games, and hey, we know that the systems it has to run, we take that into account from day to day, and we can ensure that all platforms have a good as experience as possible. That's what needs to happen. We appreciate there's lower barrier to entry. But you know, the more you know the hardware, the more you have ultimately to compromise a little bit when you're a smaller studio. Ultimately, it sounds like Puha isn't overly keen on the Xbox Series S due to making next-gen development more difficult and time-consuming, but ultimately the team is aware of how to manage things and demands moving forward. Now, I have a Series S. And again, I have nothing really to compare it to. But it seems pretty sweet little bit of kit, really. But are we worried about this lower Xbox Series S? Is that going to drag the whole generation down? Because we're not going to see games running at the full end of what the X can do, because we've got the S down here making it happen.
I don't know, really. I mean, I guess it depends on your screen, your TV screen size.
Yeah, agree.
I mean, if it's a smaller screen, then you're not really going to notice everything anyway. But if you rock an 85-inch, I'm sure you're going to notice it for sure. I guess it just depends. And if you're going to stream it, I mean, at least it will stream to the highest quality it can go to.
That is true.
So I don't know. I have to get one.
Yeah. I think on a standard definition set, you'd be thinking it was the bee's knees. Maybe that's something that they need to bear in mind as well. Like, oh yeah, we can't get it running absolute rip snorter on the Series S, but we can get the mechanics nailed on. Maybe that sort of, maybe a lot of people aren't playing them on 4K set. Maybe it doesn't matter. That was the whole design premise of the Series S anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, like you're not going to be surprised that the Series S is not as powerful as the Series X. I mean, it's just common sense.
Yeah.
You know?
But equally so.
So maybe you bought it for price because you couldn't afford an X. But then you can't be upset that you bought the S. Because if you would have saved up another $100 more, you wouldn't have to have this. You wouldn't have an issue like this. So people who bought it must know what they're getting and they're happy with it.
I think they also don't have, if you have got a certain TV, you can't see the differences. That's kind of where Xbox have got
to. I have a TV that's 10 years old now. I'm definitely not getting the full potential of the PS5, but also it looks good to me still.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. 720p or 1080p.
Yeah, so I feel fine for me, no big deal, you know?
Very good.
That's my thought.
Yeah. Post Mike's comments, I thought we'd bring that forward and have a little look at that because it's interesting. What's next?
We got a small but perfectly formed powerhouse, which Eva definitely did. If you boot up your copy of Animal Crossing New Horizons, there should be an update waiting for you, which bumps up the game to version 1.9.0. You can activate the update manually by going to the game settings on the Switch home menu. When you update it to the latest version of the game, you'll receive an anniversary cake in the mail. Apart from this, players can also look forward to the return of Bunny Day on the 4th of April, new seasonal items, enhanced custom designs, and much more. Below are the full patch notes courtesy of the official Nintendo support page. Version 1.9 released on St. Paddy's Day 2021. The software has been updated. If you see version 1.9.0 in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, general updates are the Bunny Day seasonal event has been updated. Additional support for the Sanrio collaboration amiibo cards has been added. New Miles redemption options have been added to the Nook shop. Customer Design Pro Editor Plus adds custom design slots and new pattern options. Custom Designs Portal adds access to Custom Designs Portal from the Custom Designs app. The following content has also been added. Additional limited time seasonal items from Nook Shopping. Issues fixed for version 1.40, or if a player used a wand to transform, then swap their wand for another item. While their pockets are full, the player would no longer be able to remove the transformation outfit. They fixed the issue from version 1.7.0 involving kits where a player could dig where they normally shouldn't be able to. So if they change their mind after using Let Me Imagine It option, other adjustments and corrections were made to improve the gameplay experience. That's a wrap on the news.
Wow. Animal Crossing, the gift that keeps on giving. Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in again.
You know, if they would just make a little bit of a story in this game, it'll go a long way. Because once you have everything you want, and once your town is fully updated, what are there left to do besides the daily routine? So if you add a little bit of a story into it, with certain characters maybe, you know, you gives you something to do.
Well, you know me, I'm going to go all in on story, but
there is none. You make your own.
Yeah, is that the thing? Mm-hmm. Is it better that you make your own, or is it because they've added all the props for you to have a, you know, an awfully good time?
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably.
I guess if you have friends, you come over and hang out. But if you're just doing the game, once everything's done,
if your friends came to hang out with you in Animal Crossing, mm-hmm. what activities could you go do together?
Nothing.
Oh.
Yeah, I've seen Eva's friends come over and all they do is run around like mad people. I mean, you can't play basketball. She has a basketball hoop. Can't throw the ball in there. You can't kick a soccer ball. You can't throw anything. You can't go on the swing.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
That seems like an awful shame.
It is. So...
because that would be, if I could come over to your Animal Crossing island, then we could shoot some hoops or go on an adventure together. That would be amazing.
Yeah, at least something, you know.
Wow. I never knew. Yeah, I thought it was meant to be all that good fun and more.
No. They make it seem a lot better when I do the edits on YouTube.
Yeah.
Look what we did. Meanwhile, you didn't do anything. That's it.
Sounds like our lives, and if that's not Listen, news...
I'm sure this game saved lots of people from some kind of depression during the corona, because obviously it sold millions of copies, so kudos to Animal Crossing. I'm not nothing against the game. I just think for me, once I'm finished everything and my island looks legit, that's game over.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that is game over.
And yeah, and if you don't constantly go back every day, check your weeds and the garbage, you know, your town gets more dirty, you lose more points. So like every day you have to play at least for an hour to do the daily tasks.
Oh,
and that's
my
it.
Goodness.
Yeah, it's a wrap. Yeah, it's something else you can do.
Maybe this is going to fix that.
Well, we'll find out. I'll ask Eva. We'll come back to you next week.
Get the Animal Crossing expert on it. Yeah. Question. Did we miss anything? Do you have an opinion or take on the news we missed? If so, how would the collective masses get in contact with us, Bobby, and say, no, guys, we're a game you forget.
You can contact us at Twitter or Instagram over at Unofficial Controller Podcast. They can email us at questions@unofficialcontrollerpodcast.com. And then in those links, they can join the Discord as well, which is absolutely free, believe it or not.
You have to be kidding me.
That's free, dude. It's free.
Well, it doesn't really get any better than that, does it?
Yeah, I think the best way to join a Discord, the first thing to do is just join the Culinary Delights section. If food doesn't make you friends, then I don't know what is, bro.
The first place we want you to post on the Discord is the Culinary Delights.
100%. Section. Listen, General, hello, how are you? Peace out. Delta over to the Culinary Delights section. If you're hungry, there's something you can eat from there, for sure.
Someone's listening to this now who says, I'm joining in via the left field. I'm coming in via Culinary Delights.
That's it.
2 feet in at once.
You have people that only post in the Culinary Delights section. So they're definitely foodies. And I appreciate that.
It always makes me hungry. And then I have to have something like an instant noodle.
Yeah, you don't know what you eat. Oh, wow. Then we'll check out what these people made. Oh, that looks good. Sure it does.
Okay, I'm going to eat a chocolate bar. See, that's what happens with me. I see those pictures and I'm like, oh, yeah. But then I'm hungry. Then I haven't got the patience to go make what they've made, which is probably, by the time I'm seeing it, probably a four-hour journey. And it's like, it's too late for me to eat in 4 hours' time. I'm like a madman pattering around the kitchen at this hour. So I then just eat floor sweepings and whatever I can find while looking at a picture of what's on Culinary Delights, because then it's almost like I'm eating it, but on the cheap.
Yeah.
This week, games you wish you could play again for the first time. So we've got to kind of forget that we ever remembered these games in the first in the first place. And poking around the apartment, I found something called El Bucho's Ultimate Witness Protection Device. It seemingly zaps people of a chosen memory. Can you imagine that?
So I can.
Let's say someone's seen something they shouldn't have seen. Because El Bucho's a little more friendly than most South American gangsters, instead of shooting them and causing them instant death, murder, death, kill, as they'd say on Demolition Man, you just forget. They just forget. So, Bobby, this week, we've been shooting each other with our games we wish we could play again for the first time in our mind, and we've been forgetting games left, right, and Chelsea. I think I've forgotten everything at this point. The whole lore, who I am.
Yeah, I think you definitely used it too much.
I have
also used... the trick mirror shot really got you, because it actually got me and you, because it bounced back to you as well.
Oh.
I like the idea of it, but it didn't work out the way you wanted to.
So what have you forgotten? Because I've forgotten I feel like I've forgotten almost everything.
Well, here's what I've forgotten. That I can remember what I forgot. So I guess I'll just go down the line as we come across the comments.
Okay. Well, I think that I remember doing this, but I'm not sure. So we reached out on Instagram and we asked you people for games that you wish you could play again for the first time. And we wove those into this feature. Bobby, let me fire up the Forgetatron 5000
before.
What's the first game you would like to forget?
So for me, I really looked hard deep into this memory bank of mine, which is already fugazi as is. And I was like, okay, Nintendo, listen, loved it. Nothing I really would want to play again. So I went to Super Nintendo and I'm like, boom. A Link to the Past. For sure.
How do you think playing it now you would feel?
I would definitely need some kind of guide. I feel like back then I just played it and you figured things out. Now, my memory, as is, I'm like, bro, I don't even know where North is. Like, how to get back to that castle I was just in 10 minutes ago? I have no idea. I get lost in Stamper Elite Four, let alone A Link to the Past. So hopefully I can have some kind of guide, not a cheat guide, just kind of a guide to where to go and then experience all this.
Put
bombs on the walls and, you know, the dark, the night, the light, all over again. Just experience that. It was just, that would be amazing.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You find a game that you cherish, mm-hmm. that you choose to replay all over again as if it was the first time, mm-hmm. but through modern eyes. Mm-hmm. How would you feel if you wiped a game from your memory, you played it, but because you're playing it for the first time through modern eyes, you don't have the nostalgia and you don't like it anymore?
I can see that.
Is the Forgetatron permanent?
I don't think it's permanent, no.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
I mean, if you're new to gaming and you've only played modern games and you put in Link to the Past, yeah, okay, graphically, it might capture you. The beginning story might capture you, but after a while, you're like, this is too much for me.
this way too much for me.
It yeah. Oh, I can't save it. The game doesn't save every 30 seconds. No, it doesn't.
No.
Better make sure you find a save, brother. Or you're going back to that last save point. Mm-hmm. But Link to the Past for sure. I have some more written down.
We'll dip in and out of those, because this is my concern putting the list together. Because there's certain games you're going to play today. It's almost like you pass self, like, sit down here, sit down, mm-hmm. play this. This is the best game. So good you've chosen to forget it. And you think, well, okay, I'll play it now for the first time. No, this is crap. How would you feel then knowing that you'd like done that? Oh, it'd be terrible. Those childhood dreams and memories just sort of quashed into the...
Yeah, I wonder if it's the actual game that brings you back, or if it's the time of it and the events of your life during that game.
Oh.
For me, Contra, listen, I didn't pick that game because I'm like, it's too quick. But it's not Contra, really. It's the memories of playing with my father for the first time of that game.
Yeah,
not really Contra. Contra's not really, to me, special. It's just, it's a good game. It's quick, to the point. But is it like, oh man, it's a masterpiece? I don't think so. People could have envisioned it because they had great memories of it. But was it the game, or was it the time of your life around that game?
Oh.
Boom.
This is, oof.
Like someone on my Instagram page, someone was like, oh, you didn't really review the game. I didn't. But you got a story out of it. So like it, save, subscribe. Thank you.
Rock up, like, save, subscribe, out the other door. Boom. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Because sometimes, listen, the story behind it is better than the actual journey of the game.
Well, this is what we need to separate out. I'm looking at Forgetatron 5000, and it's like, it's almost become, this has now almost become, what cherished family memory are you willing to sacrifice?
See, but I think still, A Link to the Past, if you just pop it in for the first time, I think it's still... will hold your attention that you want to see it completed. So that's me, what I was thinking about. Like, I would love to experience all that stuff again. Mm. You know, that's why I picked Link to the Past for the first game.
Okay. Well, we're hoping for not too serious of sound effects. Oh, I've forgotten. I think they are. I think this guy's a
new listener. It's Digital Monkery.
Who's he then?
I'm not sure. Let's find out. I don't remember him posting.
I don't remember him.
He says, the obvious ones that spring to mind for me are the first two Monkey Island games. Up to that point, my experience with games had been Frogger on the Acorn Electron. Where is he from? What is that?
What do Mighty Oaks grow from?
I don't know. I don't know what an Acorn Electron is. Like a handheld or something?
An Acorn Electron.
Yeah, what is that?
It's like a little educational computer here in the early 80s, I would say.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Nothing like amazing, but
okay,
relatively, a little bit like the Commodore VIC 20. So this is okay. My mind. It's probably a bit more powerful than that, but.
He continues, I don't have specific memories of being blown away by them. Just now of general feelings of fun and enjoyment from the jokes I understood at that point and the feelings of achievement when doing something right. Stan's jacket looked amazing at the time. Laugh until I cry emoji. I play through both of them every year. And thanks to patchy memory, it's almost like playing part of it for the first time each time. In terms of games blowing me away, Final Fantasy X's visuals totally blew me away on the first time playing it, while 9 and Ocarina of Time were amazing experience first time around. However, if I had to pick one game to play again for the first time, sorry it's taking this long for me to get here, it would be Heavy Rain.
Ooh.
That's okay, I like that one. It's one of the only games I've ever been massively hyped for. I remember finishing it, finishing a night shift, traveling to Norwich to get a copy early, the shop staff having no idea what I was talking about before managing to find it. I went home and played 4 to 5 hours before deciding I needed to get some sleep. When I woke up, PSN was down and my save couldn't reload without a connection. My connection stayed down for a couple of days, no. And when it came back, my save file was gone.
No.
I'm not the greatest at replaying games other than Monkey Island and didn't want to redo the start. So soon after the first time, I still not finished the game.
No.
As once I started, I lose momentum and enthusiasm quite quickly. If I could have a first to go at anything, Heavy Rain would be it, because my rarely experienced excitement and hype was completely wasted due to circumstances beyond my control. If I could have that time again without the outage, I think it could have been something really special. Sorry for the meandering comment this week without proof. Without proofreading it, I don't know if it's coherent, but I'm not about to start proofreading it now. Will sound pretty good to me.
Yeah, I was on board. Again,
that's horrible.
That's a shame as well. That's horrible. That's really good. That's a game I wish I could forget and play again, because the less you know, the more exciting mm-hmm. it is. But he wants to forget that bad experience so we can just go through it. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, because it sucks. Because the first 4 hours of the game, to do it again, it's kind of annoying.
I think for me, I don't think I would want to blast. I was going to come on here and get all reminiscent and blast my memory of, Microprose Grand Prix and all that. But if you do that, you're literally obliterating your family memories as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I might go down the digital monkery route. This other person coming up out the mailbag, mm-hmm. Ginger's Game Room. I think he's a
new listener. He says, GTA San Andreas, what a game it was. The amount of things you could do for the time was unbelievable. Still one of the greatest games ever made, to be honest.
Now, thank you for messaging in, Ginger's Game Room.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like someone we want to get to know.
Yeah, he does.
Again, if I played San Andreas for the first time today, wonder what I would make of it. Would I be like, oh, that's amazing? It would have been like, these graphics are glitchy and blocky and I'm slip sliding all over the place. I still think if you just let go and went on the San Andreas journey, it would be, because I've got quite far on it the last couple of years. I've just sort of mucked around and it does pull you in. Mm-hmm. So you'd think that if you'd never played it before, it'd pull you in. Interesting. Could I just obliterate, boof, no more memories, sit down, play it?
Interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting. A little bit edgy, really. And why have I put such a dark connotation on it?
Why not?
Well, fire up the Forgetatron 5000 because we've got another new
listener. If I had a clap, see, that's what's going on here.
Oh, what do you have to do?
Ooh.
Finstagamer.
Oh, yes.
There are plenty of games that were mind-blowing when I first experienced them, but suppose there's nothing stopping me from playing them now also, apart from our new rules we've made up. In terms of games, they're not quite the same after the first time playing, when I would say the Bioshock series, it's my all-time favourite game series. I'd love to play them, but if I could go back and erase my memory of those great twists at the end of each one, it would take that experience to another level. He's right. Vince the Gamer, as always, he's crunched down hard on the elephant in the room. Have you played Bioshock? You haven't, have you?
No, I have them. I haven't played them, though.
You'd love that.
Sure, I would. I'll get to it eventually.
Okay. Who's this other person?
We have a new listener.
Listener.
It's Retro Gamer Thomas.
He sounds all right.
He sounds okay. He says, plenty of games to choose from and a great question. I like to go back to where it all started and play the tabletop Space Invaders arcade machine. I never seen anything like it. And at the 7-year-old, RGT eyes lit up wide behind his rather large NHS spectacles. So I'm appearing, I guess he has glasses, clearly.
Yeah.
I love to play any of my Pack in the Spectrum games again, just for having that first experience of playing games at home on the TV. Finally, I love to play GTA 3 again. Didn't think much of the series on the PS1, but my mate bought his own on the whim and bought it home. We were gobsmacked. That's English slang. Open 3D environment blew us away. Some of my best gaming experience were playing the GTA series with dids. Good times, winking emoji, and the unofficial controller emoji.
Oh, wow. Yeah, GTA 3. I remember the first time I saw it, I was walking down this corridor and my mate was playing it, and I sort of stopped, turned around and looked, and then I looked again. And then it dawned on me what I was seeing. Like, it was raining and, you know, the rain was stopping as you went under bridges and the radio was, you know, everything about it. It was just pulled me in further. I was like, no, that can't be. You can't do that in it. Oh, you can. Oh, wow. This is really special. And it felt like they covered every detail. You play it now and it feels a bit barren, doesn't it? But
the only thing I remember from Grand Theft Auto 3 is my brother playing it and trying to pick up all the back alley, you know, individuals.
Oh.
At like 5 or 7. Whatever, how old he was, he had no idea what was going on. But that's all I remember from that game.
What?
Which is quite sad.
Yeah. Very sad. Would you choose to forget that memory?
No.
You want that memory?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Does it shame him?
No, he can care less, really. That kid got no shame. No shame at all. If I had to pick another game.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go to the PS1 era.
You're going to choose to forget this and experience it for the first time today.
Yeah. I would say Metal Gear Solid.
That's a
good answer. All the games to play on the PS1.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I picked Castlevania, you know, Symphony of the Night, all those games are amazing. But for some reason, this game just pulled me in. Especially when your boy, Psycho Mantis, made you unplug your controller and put it into a port 2.
Nothing like that. You've done your homework this week. You're right. You're absolutely right.
That will never happen again, bro. When he was like, oh, you play Castlevania Symphony of the Night? First of all, how do you know that? I'm freaked out. Also, he started reading any other Konami game you had. You had no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But when you unplug that controller, bro, that was mind-blowing.
But you've come out with all the good answers.
I remember getting my mom. That's how excited I was.
Did mom, she know what was here. Going on? Did
she had no clue. She pretended she did. She didn't care less. She was like, okay, great. Good for you, bro. You figured it out. My sister was like, my sister got it. She understood it. But I was so excited I had to tell somebody. My mom was home. So I brought her into the room screaming like an idiot.
I love that. Get in.
Look what I did. Come on, check it out.
Mom, get over here.
Yeah.
And now I have visions of you goring your mum with a chain and dragging her over to the console.
To anything amazing in a game, I would yell at her, come on, take a look at it.
Wow. Do you think
she got up, she looked at me, looked at the game. Oh, cool.
I think if you played that for the first time now, you would still be kind of like graphically it's not that it's not terrible, I don't think. Because when you go in first person view, it still looks like it's good.
It's not that bad. The storyline is still good. The action is still good. Yes. Graphically now, does it hold up? Slightly. But the gameplay and the bosses and the story, I don't think it was so confusing like other Metal Gear games became. It was pretty straightforward.
Yeah. It just dropped you in.
Yeah.
I think that run really where you infiltrate the building for the first time.
Amazing.
Yeah. Really
amazing.
He
came up from the water. That whole swimming sequence was just like, what am I playing? And then as you're playing it, the credits are still popping up. Damn, I'm in a movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I tell you where I had a similar experience. And it'd be nice to forget this game. And hopefully, again, if I could play it back in the day, I know I'd go nuts for it. But if I could blow my mind away now and then play it now, there are some little bits where it lets itself down. But Halo. Mm-hmm. The first time when you wake up on the ship, and I think it was one of the first times I remember where you kind of, you say what controls you want by moving the stick up and down or left and right. And it's like, do you want that way or do you want the opposite of that way? And you're like, oh no, I want that way. You know, I want to be up or down or down for up and down, up and down. And I thought that was really cool. And then you kind of go through the ship and everything, you meet people. I like those ones, a bit like Bioshock. You kind of learn the lore as you go through the game. People say things to you and that. And then it all kicks off and the ship lands. And when you get out and you realize the scale of the place, it was like areas that you'd never seen of this scale before. And you're like, wow, this is great. And it feels like the battle's evolving. And it does literally play from one scenario to the next. So it does feel like this awesome. I mean, yeah, there's those bits where you walk in a lot in tunnels in the sort of middle third of the game. But other than that, it's amazing. And when I can get in the enemy's flying vehicle, unbelievable. You know, this is great. So yeah, that's one where I'd be willing to take the risk. We talked about the games earlier where you kind of shot yourself, but weren't sure whether you'd remember it in the same way. I think that it's fun enough where you'd play through it and still be like, yeah, it was a brilliant experience. Mm-hmm. So it's not old enough to make you go for it to be a complete mess. You know, like some really early Commodore 64 game, you ain't got a clue what's going on.
Nah.
It still looks and smells like a game. So I'm willing, that's one I'm willing to take a risk on.
Yeah.
That is an awfully long comment.
Yeah.
C. Pliskin.
Who
Professor
is a
Pliskin. Oh.
New listener.
Listener. So they've messaged him for the first time with what seems like the longest comment I've ever seen in all my days. Perfect timing, you two. Clenched with teeth emoji. Me and my favourite cowgirl at Deep Space, Deep Sea Noodles. Not space, George. She's from the deep sea. Okay, get it right. She's not an alien. She's a mermaid. Talking about some of our gaming experience, and she briefly mentioned the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney series, which definitely caught my interest. Personally, when it comes to gaming experiences compared to something like films, novels, games have a lot more essence of rediscovery since you are what ultimately pushes the story forward, and you can do that through different routes like solving a puzzle without a guide or going for 100% completion route. However, Ace Attorney as a series doesn't really have that for one specific reason. The game is built entirely about the narrative. Surely there's some interesting notes you can make on either the environment or the characters, but largely speaking, those Eureka moments when you finally get a puzzle right or apply the right piece of evidence to a witness testimony can't really be experienced again on a second playthrough. But despite that, the journey itself and the characters you meet along the way are some of those funny, engaging, whimsical creations out there. I've only played the first two entries and 3/4 of 3 from Ace Attorney Trilogy for the Switch, but everything from Godot and his coffee addiction and his sexy saxophone theme to Phoenix himself being a bumbling, almost accidental hero with a good heart, he's so well done that it lifts the great jabs at humour tremendously to make the sad scenes more powerful as a result. The final mission from 2 is definitely a highlight since it plays off a lot of the characteristics that major players have developed over 2 games and the desire to rescue a hostage in between having to prove the innocence of a character whose true natures near the end actually startle me when compared to the first scene. It's one of those game series as a whole that's very hard to find, but enjoyment of a second time. Still, it's one of the best series I've had the pleasure of trying out in a long, long time, and I highly recommend it. I've got nothing more to say. Play it. So I've forgotten what happened at the start of the comment, but then I remember what happened at the middle of the comment, but then I forgot what happened at the end of the comment. I think he's saying he wants to play Ace Attorney again.
Sense?
Have you played those games?
I never knew it existed.
I've heard really good things about them, but it's a series I've never played.
And then I never heard of it. I mean, I'll Google it. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah. Have you played Daganronpa on the Vita? Probably not.
Papa the Rapper?
Daganronpa.
I don't know. No.
Ah, okay. I liken that to Ace Attorney, probably.
Okay.
Who's this? Who's this next?
Up next, we got another new listener. It's Bada Bingsta Retro Gaming. He says, there are way too many to pick from, but I think the PS1 Metal Gear Solid, well, I just said that, so good job. It was such an immersive game. I never played anything like that before. With a unofficial controller emoji, a trophy emoji, and the Italian flag. So I'm assuming this guy's Italian.
Yeah. Do you think he's done the trophy because we're all winners? You're a winner, sir. I'm a winner.
100%.
Yeah.
I wonder what his accent would be like.
I don't know. I kind of felt like I wanted to stand up and then sit down, but I don't know why.
Yeah, for some reason, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah, I felt like that. I don't know.
Here's a guy who always messages in, Tim Bits. He's on every week.
He's a new listener.
Okay, Tim Bits. He just says Morrowind. Now, this, quite eloquently, was one of my other picks. It's not one that's steeped in childish nostalgia, and therefore I'd be eviscerating my very own memories of my father. Or young friend. But Morrowind is a game I'd be quite happy to zap myself with. Now, hopefully I could play it on the backwards compatible thing on the Xbox so the graphics are improved slightly, because I told you I played that not that long ago. I think, well, I must have mentioned it on the show, I've got an original Mark 1 Xbox and I've got Morrowind. I thought, I'll put that in. I remember how good that was. Oh, well, I wish I'd not put this in here because it looks terrible. That was a memory I kind of wish had been kept.
I mean, if I had to pick an Xbox game, if I had to, it's not my pick. I'm just picking Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh yeah.
When I put that in, I felt like I was a freaking Jedi. It was unbelievable, dude.
It had that. What I liked about that was you were in the Star Wars universe, but you weren't. It wasn't like dead obvious, but it was.
You weren't tied down to any of the corny movie plots. It was like its own thing.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciated.
And was actually quite dark and interesting story. It wasn't like, it wasn't like Attack of the Clones, was it? It wasn't all just like heydays and holidays.
No, this was deep, dude. This was deep.
Mm.
Again, not picking it. I'm just saying.
And I think that Morrowind, although I would enjoy it, I think it feels an old game now.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I'd really be like, oh, why have I done this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this.
Yeah, I can see that being an issue.
But I loved it at the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Sad.
And
who's
then,
next?
Up next, we have a new listener.
Listener. Why are we clapping?
I think somewhere on the show script, it says, if there's a new listener, it says clap. Oh. So I just started to do that.
Do you think we should applaud them like that?
That might be too much. I just think two claps is good.
I think, yeah.
Like new clap, listener clap, you know, and one day we'll be on sync. We'll be in sync.
Kind of adds to the mystique that we're not.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, who knows? I don't remember. But so this is a new listener. Retro Magnat.
Yes.
I would choose Alien Trilogy on the PS1. Ooh. It was the atmosphere which caught me as a kid. Like a surprised emoji and a laughing till I cry emoji.
Oh.
Second would be Road Rash because it was pure fun. And I was so into motorcycles at the time. The cutscenes got my attention every time. And you were waiting for like 30 seconds on the title screen. A music video would show up from the group Paul, a song called Jesse. This was always on my mind, like the Willie Nelson song. So I had to buy the CD and still listening to this track. Heart eyes emoji.
He's got two games, Alien Trilogy. That's another one I would take a risk on, actually, because it's still quite fun to play. It still looks pretty good as well.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, the atmosphere. Not. It's never going to be as good atmosphere as it was, because I could have sworn those Xenomorphs were real when I played it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to think they're real now, but I think you're still going to think this is a pretty interesting alien game. And his second one, Road Rash. On the disc with music, so it's got to be on the PlayStation. Have you played Road Rash ever on the Mega Drive or something like that? The Genesis Road Rash?
No, I'm not really a car guy.
It's a fighting game.
Road Rash is a fighting game?
Yeah, you're on motorcycles fighting with other people.
No.
Okay.
I mean, unless you're Mad Max on the car, it's not really for me.
It's similar to that.
I'll check it out.
I think you should. Yeah, I do.
I'll check it out. Okay.
Who's next here?
A new listener. It's Mr. Graham C.
Hey, welcome back, Mr. Graham C.
He says, Ghost of Tsushima, hands down, best game I've ever played. It's only a game that made me stop and take in the beautiful world scenery. It's second to none. The vivid colors of the trees to the pale blue skies. Everything about that game blew my mind. And a second for me, Spider-Man on the PS4. Remember getting it, just playing it nonstop, the fluid swing motion through the city, love the collectibles and doing the towers, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
Those are good. I'm like, if I had to add another game, Batman Arkham City. That's just an unbelievable superhero game. I'd pick that for sure.
Which one's Arkham City?
Second one.
The second one.
Mm-hmm. First one was good, don't get me wrong, but the second one just improved on the first one in every way possible.
You know that one I played at Christmas?
Origins.
I know this is controversial, and I'm known for my controversial opinions. Mm-hmm. But I played Origins, and then I played Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And my takeaway from it was I was having more fun playing Origins. I really enjoyed
it. People hate Origins. I think Origins is fine. I don't understand the hate for it.
I like the fact that it's quite small and you know, like we said about Miles Morales, where it was small, contained, it was punchy, it was in, it's out, didn't overstay its welcome. Mm-hmm. Christmas game again.
That's all you
very
need.
Similar. You're in, you're out, your story's done. It was pretty epic along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of those boss battles are really cool.
Yep.
And then you pop out the other end and be like, yeah, that felt, and it felt like you should still be in the city cleaning up. I know you, when you finish your game, you want everything to pop, but I would do it the other way. And then if I really liked it, I might double down. But it felt, you know, with the way the Batcave was and
people are, it was not good. How though?
Oh, it's definitely good.
I mean, it's good. Not the best, but it's enjoyable.
Mm.
I wouldn't say it was bad at all.
I guess people probably wanted it to be bigger than the second one, bigger than the first one. Mm-hmm. And although it's probably similar in scale and scope to the first game, actually.
I would think so, yeah.
Mm. And Ghost of Tsushima, that's a relatively new one. That would actually be quite good to blast your eyes of like a relatively new title and then... I mean, that's the clever, safe way, isn't it? You're not blowing away your family and friends.
If I had to play this game again, if I had to, I would only do it on that black and white mode. I forgot what it's called.
Kurosawa mode.
Yeah, that's it.
That is well classy. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's this guy?
It's another
new
listener.
What's this person?
Baba Laba.
Boba Loba.
I mean, I guess you could read it like that. Boba. I got Baba La or Bob Bobalaboba.
Like,
Bolauba.
Bolau, it's very weird. Boba.
It's a lot of vowels in between. You know, so yeah. I'm confused. But he says Gears of War 2006. 2006. Yeah, 2006. Yeah, the Xbox 360 was still relatively new. After the prologue mission, the camera pans up and reveals the landscape. I never forget how insanely good it looked. A classic case of video games can't get better than this. Gran Turismo 97, stunning game. Made you take tests for different categories. Looked incredible. Feeder blasting while driving. Change racing games forever. They can't get better than this. Mario All-Stars 93. I've been wanting a Nintendo for so long, playing the ZX Spectrum games up until then, unwrapping an NES at Christmas, loading up Mario All-Stars and hearing the chatter and chime before jumping into Super Mario Bros. And hearing that music again. Heart emoji. You know, for some reason when I was reading that, I felt like I had a very profound, like, voice. But I really couldn't portray it. Very interesting comment.
Yeah, to be honest, touching on some things that I remember quite dearly. That Gears of War 2006, we all saw the trailer. And we were all like, oh, yeah. You know, we read the reviews and we were like, okay, this could be. Then you get home and play it and you're like, this is phenomenal. This is a good game. And although I've had my fill of them now, really just, you can pick it up, you can blast through it. And I think even now, even if you played on original hardware on 360, you'd still think it was great for the first time.
Yeah, sure. 100%.
Second one as well. And it was one of those moments where video games can't look any better than this. Gran Turismo 97 as well. First time I played that, I remember thinking, this is...
Getting the licenses was awesome.
Yeah. And then...
Oh, you want to be a big boy? Come take this test.
Then one thing that blew me away was when I realized the scale. It was just how many cars? All these. Right. And what can you... And being a bit of a nerd at the time, you could go in and change the settings, add new turbos, take things off, add them on. It's like, wow, you can... Normally in a racing game, you change the wheels, you change the paint, and you're feeling like a baller. On this, you're in the very gearbox, changing gearbox ratios. Phenomenal. Game and look great for the time as well. Look great.
It sure did. 100%.
Two still looks okay, I think, if you know, were pushed. And the music, it felt like you games a little bit when Wipeout came out, it had that cool club scene around it. And when Gran Turismo launched and it had those cool bands on it, that you were like, oh yeah, this is very cool.
Yeah. I don't remember the music too much. I just remember the driving, the realism, winning every match. And then my friend who's from Europe came over and manually shifted. And I just turned it off and I didn't play it when he came over. Almost like a cheat code, really.
Next. I remember the first time me and Tom used, used gears as brakes in a game. And when you realize you can do that, it literally just does make it almost a cheat, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I was like spamming the gears.
I'm holding brake to slow down. Meanwhile, he's like drifting. Okay, how does it do that, you cheater? He's like, I shifted. No, good for you. We'll play something else.
Did you ever play Mario All-Stars on the SNES?
Yeah.
I remember feeling like it was almost a tech demo when you heard them sort of like talking and then the curtain came up and they went quiet. I remember thinking, that's so cool. That's so clever. That's so cutting edge. Again, would I run the risk of losing my memory of Mario All-Stars? Because I came at Nintendo a bit late. I think I'd be willing to run that risk. I'd zap myself and play Mario All-Stars through again. I think that would be cool.
And you get three games. Four games, right?
It depends which version you get. I've seen the Mario All-Stars I had was just Mario All-Stars, but there is a Mario All-Stars and Super Mario World on the same cart kicking about, which is great. I mean, that would be that's the way to play it.
Yeah.
What's up next?
We got another new listener. Play statement. Didn't realize you're on Apple Podcast. Just subscribed. Never heard of that game.
No. One thing I would say is if you're listening now and you're not subscribed, do that, if you've forgotten, like we've forgotten everything, it'd be wise to click subscribe. Then you can find us again when your memory returns.
Yeah.
While you're there, why not write a review about what it is you're experiencing for the first time? Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect. We need those, don't we? Reviews.
100%.
Who's this next person?
Comic Pictures 79.
Who's that?
I'm not sure, but he likes comics. He draws pictures, and I'm sure he's born in 79. I mean, to me, it just makes sense.
Maybe he changes every year. Maybe he is 79. Maybe next year possible. It'll be 80.
Mm. Very possible.
Are they a new listener?
Yes, they are. He's a new listener. She writes, I'm not sure. Great topic.
Don't Here assume goes. Their gender.
Never. That's cancel culture. Prince of Persia, Flashback, Turrican 2, Silkworm, UN Squadron, Moonwalker Arcade, Strider, Castlevania 4, Rigor, Super Ghouls and Ghost, Resident Evil, Tomb Raider 1, 2, 3, Legend, Underworld, and the reboots.
Wow.
Hellblade, Skyrim, Link to the Past, Merry World, Must Stop. So basically, he just wants to forget all of his childhood.
Yeah, he's not bothered about losing the childhood memories.
Not at all.
He just wants to play those games for the first. He's gone all in, hasn't he? Balls like, I don't know, wheelbarrows. Not actual wheelbarrows, because that would be a strange shape for a ball to be, but wheeled in wheelbarrows.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, do you think that Prince of Persia would still be an enjoyable game now?
I didn't play Prince of Persia.
Did you not?
I played the originals.
This is the one I'm talking about. This one he's
one where you have to just like
step forward
and drop down slowly. Yeah, those are good. I probably pull my hair out playing them now. But
that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm nervous about. Yeah. You see,
his Flashback was good. I agree. That was a good game. Same type of game. I just found it more enjoyable.
But would you think Flashback was good now?
I wouldn't pick it personally. I mean, I think you could enjoy it, but I think what's going to get people is the controls. That's what's going to get people, for sure.
Those controls, man. They are from another time.
They are. Moonwalker Arcade, yeah, that was phenomenal.
That looked, I remember seeing that. That pulled me in from the other side of the arcade. Yeah.
I mean, I've always wanted a game, me and my boy, King_PIcon, talking about it. He's like, if he could develop a game, he wanted to have Michael Jackson and Prince, kind of like in the style of Diablo, where they would just, you know, run around like an overhead view and just belt out kicks and songs and just, you know, smack like aliens or whatever came down to Earth. They could do anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Devil Invasion, boom, take care of that. You know, Alien Invasion, we got this. And every now and then they can get like, you know, if they need a help, like a downloadable character. This. Yeah, you could do like, you know, Jimi Hendrix. Boom. You know, you could bring down like, what's his name? Mick Jagger. You know? Bro. And if you really want to go hardcore, you could just bring Elton John. And just bring him down there. Freddie Mercury could have like a huge scream. We had all this down. Unfortunately, I think licensing would be an issue.
What would you call it? Dungeons of pop, dungeons of rock.
Something like that. We haven't got a title, but I think he was on to something.
I do.
Imagine just Prince roundhousing people. I mean, who does not want to see that?
Michael Jackson's got his full move set from the games that we've seen him in previously.
100%. And every now and then when he just smacks somebody, he'd be like, Anna, are you okay?
Oh, wow.
If that's not gold, I don't know what is.
Normally, I remember you telling me I came up with these fire ideas.
Well, it was mine. It was...
Take it.
Okay.
Take it. That's what we are. We're outlaws.
Can't be.
We're the new age outlaws.
We are.
The gaming gram.
Yeah, but I'm going to be Mr. You could be the roadie.
Oh, you're the badass Billy Gunn, are you?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm... The road dog, Jesse James.
Yeah.
That's a bit like we are, though, isn't it? Oh,
we are.
You didn't know, Bow, 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 bow. Your ass better call somebody.
Yep. Watch out.
We need to...
Next, we have another.
I wish I hadn't shot myself with a Forgetatron, because I remember having a pretty decent show.
It was good. I told you that that mirror trick really... Cool idea and concept, bad idea and execution. Almost like Cyberpunk. Up next, we have a new listener. The dot gaming dot Graham. Wow. And it's not dot, it's just a period. He didn't write that dot. Bit of a weird one. I'd go with Flower for the PS3. Firstly, the soundtrack is amazing. When I first played it, I just viewed it as a bunch of pedals flying around. But I've played it through five or six more times since then, and it's so much more than that.
I haven't played Flower.
I think it was a free download. I might have it, actually.
I remember the Greenfield. I've seen lots of it played. I've seen the flower petals flying around on the wind sort of job. Looks interesting. It's one of those experiences where you could have it again for the first time. Mm-hmm. This guy here, of course, himself
a roast new listener.
Of course, I didn't know whether to clap there for the new or clap for roast. They're a roast space monk. So I don't know whether that's they've got like...
He's probably like a retired space monk.
I thought he might have like a space monk wrapped up with that butcher's tie, and he might have him in the oven just roasting gently.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Wonder what space monk would taste like.
Probably not good.
What vegetables would you have with a space monk?
Probably Brussels sprouts with some honey. And some kind of seasoning. I make them pretty good. Probably good with that. Yeah, but crispy.
Oh, I think so. You've got to have crispy vegetables with a roast space monk. No,
if you steam them, do me a favor. Open the window and throw it out, okay? I'm not eating it.
Get it gone.
I'll do soft vegetables, bro.
You doing a gravy with this?
No.
Just dry?
Yeah. Listen, if you got enough seasoning and you're roasting something and it's dry, you made a mistake.
You're right.
It should be juicy and crisp on the outside.
You're right. And that's how a space monk should be prepared.
Agreed.
He says Shenmue for me, although I tend to complete it once a year and I still miss that very first time playing it. Never before had I played a game with such feeling, being in a living, breathing world with residents who go about their daily lives. It's fair to say that by today's standards, it definitely feels quite a bit janky. But back in 1999, it was a unique and new concept. What I would give to go back and experience that all over for the first time. Now, the guy who roasts space monks there, he's going down the mind journey of it's almost like a time machine that you're hitting yourself with. We know that's not possible. So you've got to just forget it and then remember it again. I think that when I played Shenmue for the first time, this would be another one of my picks. It was a game that you were like, I can't believe I've never seen this before. This is unbelievable. Can I go here? Yes. Can I look in that drawer? Yes, I can. Playing it now? Without that nostalgia? I think it'd be like playing Shenmue 3. I think it'd be a damn disappointing game.
If I had to pick a game, again, I would pick right now, go back and play Witcher 3. I love that game. So playing it again would be great.
So it's like the first time.
Yeah, of course.
Well, what I like about that, again, it's another one of those games where it doesn't look so terrible that you'd be like, oh my goodness. But then you can still, you see, get lost in the nuances of the story.
And then when you select something that he says, and he says the complete opposite of what you picked.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, I think.
Yeah.
The certain situations. I mean, he also doesn't remember, right? So it's almost like the perfect game.
Yes. Maybe.
He's also not remembering.
Maybe you've already shot yourself with that.
Maybe. I got one more game left, so.
Okay.
Apparently, that I'm picking five. There was no rule on how many you could pick.
I never even really picked.
Yeah, you did. You got three already, dude.
I know, but I've forgotten what they were.
That's fine. That's the point of the whole show. Up next, we have a new listener. This is Juan.GD30CE12.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but
it's probably like coordinates.
It could be. I mean, he's definitely, this is like a young adult man name. This is, you know.
I don't know. I feel like he's a, I don't feel like he's a young adult man. I might be wrong. I'm probably wrong. I feel like he's a fully mature adult man.
It could be.
Can you be a mature adult?
Of course, look at us.
Adults. Perfect.
100%.
Proper big boys.
He writes, boy, this is going to be a good one. So definitely have to go with Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Shadow of the Colossus, Final Fantasy IX, Super Mario World 2 and 3. Not the first one. See ya. And lastly, Donkey Kong 64. I played those games countless times as a kid. Now that I'm adult, I'm dripping back in. I'm forgetting a few, but who's counting? Two more, Conker's Bad Fury and Pokemon Silver. Cheers, boys. So now,
why did you say that like that? Because I would, if I saw that word written there, I would call it Pokemon.
Pokemon. I think that abbreviation is own. So Pokemon. That's how I read it.
You see, I want to say Pokemons. I'm going to say Pokemons going forward, and you're going to call them Pokemons.
Pokemons. Okay, sounds good.
Okay,
right. Sounds good.
He had some belters in there. Donkey Kong 64, I always have a lot of passion with, but it's wrapped up in nostalgia. So again, I'm nervous, but heck, I'll blast myself. Ocarina of Time. I think it's got one of the best openings of many games. But does the whole game carry itself in the modern era? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Shadow of the Colossus probably just about get away with that on PS2. Although on PS2, the controls are a little bit more out there. The remakes had the controls tightened up. So I'm just wondering if the old controls might wind people up a bit. But
yes, possible.
What do I know? Who's this? Steven.
This is a new listener over on Twitter. At Road to Then or Me.
Who's that unofficial cunt one?
I think that's our Instagram. Twitter. I think it's our Twitter.
Is that how people get in contact with us?
I believe so. I wouldn't know because I'm suspended from Twitter. He says, I think I'd have to go with Ghosts and Goblins arcade version.
Uh-huh.
Spend so many coins on that game, but not only to experience the game again, but to have the experience I had in the fish and chip shop with all my school friends huddled around this machine. See, that's what I was saying. You see? So now this memory is enhanced by a nice story around it. He also continues, following from my Twitter post, I'd like to add and comment, please, sir, and that I've also like to play Ghosts and Goblins again, arcade version, because I'm pretty confident it won't take a bucket of coins this time around. Maybe. Thanks, guys. One love. Heart emoji.
He sounds handsome, doesn't he?
You sound like a handsome man. For sure. Especially with the word sir. I'm like, wow, this is respect. I like that.
Very respectful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Decent chat.
Mm-hmm. If I had to pick my last game, I'm going to say God of War 2018. It's almost like, because he is suppressing his memories to his kid. And it's a whole new, it's a whole new game. It's not even a it's a continuation story-wise, gameplay-wise. It's been smacked around and changed. And I loved every minute of it.
That's
the stories were good.
Yeah.
I thought how the kid was acting like a little brat. Normal behavior for a teenage boy.
Yeah, agreed. I thought that game was good. Again, it's new enough where you could forget it and then play it and still be sort of blown away by it graphically as well.
100%.
So, yep. I tell you a game I'd be quite happy to I guess this would probably have to be my last one that I'd blast myself with and think I can get away with that. Days Gone. And when it launched, I got it when it launched, and it was a bit, I had a few moments where the microphone noise for the bike didn't work. So there was no sound. And there was a couple of bits and bobs early doors where it kind of glitched. To go through that all again now with it looking how it does now.
Yeah.
With the upgrades and all that. I think that would be, I'd be safe with that.
That's the game that made my boy Marlon a trophy hunter.
Is it?
He loved it, bro. Because he had a bike. So he was like, oh man, this is like me. It kind of looked like him, bro.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's better looking, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, Marlon, not Deacon. You know, I'm just saying. That's my
And Deacon opinion. St. John's a handsome man.
Yeah, well, put Marlon's face on that bad boy.
Really?
I think it'll sell more. I think more women will buy it. Yeah.
That's your boy, Marlon.
That's my, yeah.
Yeah, that game.
No, when he was asking me, how do you do certain things? I'm like, that's a trophy. He was like, yeah. I'm like, I thought you don't do that. Well, I got nothing else to do. Oh, okay, sure. And then all of a sudden, hey, what can we play now? Oh, you're going down that rabbit
hole. I tell you what, Spider-Man got me the same. If you're on it, and Spider-Man's quite easy, a little bit easier to do because traversing the world for some of the pickups is not hard. Mm-mm. Whereas traversing the world in something like Days Gone or Horizon Zero Dawn involves combat every 10 minutes. Spider-Man, you can just whip to the backpack, pick it up, whip to the postcard, pick it up, whip to the whatever, pick it up. So collecting the platinum on that was easy. Although the roadmap in, say, Horizon or Days Gone is very similar. It's totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some last bits to mop up. Will I ever? Probably not. But I'd like to experience it again.
Up next, we have a new listener. So I'm confused here, which is nothing new. Someone's going to go for it. We got Do It Sooty.
That is perfect.
And on the bottom, he writes Carcassonne, which I don't know. And then he writes four fire emojis.
It's a game on the, might be on the 360, but it's like a card-based European castle game.
Definitely never heard of it. Once you said card game, for me, that's...
It's hard to explain. It's a card stroke puzzle game. I can't...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Up next, we got a new listener. This is deep_c_doodles.
Mm.
I respect the underscore there. I have incredibly fond memories of playing the first Halo on the Gen 1 Xbox with my cousin as a kid. Everything from the Xbox startup sound to the tribal and evergenic beats of the Halo theme song had me super stoked to dive in when I was younger. I loved everything about it so much. The overall aesthetic, Cortana's voice to the weapons themselves, and oddly enough, the sounds from the alien enemies.
Mm.
I can see that. Halo was pretty... It was amazing playing it my first time as well.
Yeah, I'd be willing to take, like I say, I can't remember what I've chose. I think I might have chose to forget this, Halo. I think I chose to forget Gears of War.
That was the first game on a newer system that was like split screen co-op.
Yeah.
So I played, we played that as well. Yeah, it was pretty dope.
It was just very mature all around. This last person
is a new listener.
Wes Robinson or Wes Robbins. Wes Robinson
design. Oh, Wes Robinson.
Wesley. Yeah. Wes Robinson. Nice. Design.
He says Grand Prix was tough.
You see, I'd have picked that, but I didn't know whether it was. When we posed this question, I didn't know whether it was to go back in time and experience it or whether it was to blast your own brains out. We found out it was blast your own brains out. So Grand Prix, to me, is too a treasured memory to blast myself over.
Mm.
So it's made this whole experience. I went away with it thinking, oh, you know, we'll just go back in time. But it's not that, is it? No. We're choosing to remember it again for the first time. And that makes me wonder, has this game held up? And then that's the whole question of, if it hasn't, then I'm not going to enjoy it, and therefore I've burnt my memory of it. Because I can't unforget unforgetting it, can I?
No.
Is that even possible?
I mean, and listen, once memories, and you bring the memories back into it, in and out, anything's possible. Also, how would you know you did it already?
I don't know. Do you remember
what I'm saying?
Can you remember the feature?
For the beginning?
For the show.
I think it would like forget games or games you want to play again for the first time.
I just thought we'd done the news. I've forgotten what we're even talking about.
No, we did that. That's done.
Oh, it's done.
100%.
When I look at this Forgetatron, and there's a number between 1 and 5,000. Obviously, I ramp it round to 5,000 because you go harder, you go home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's having an unnecessary effect on my memory.
Yeah, I'm also not sure if it's still on. You should probably turn it off.
Let me turn this off.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Turning it off. That switch there to the left.
What's looks this?
Like looks like a pen.
What is this?
That's a Forgetatron. The signal to turn it on and off.
Why am I holding it?
Because we're going to turn it off. I'll do it for you. Just give it to me. I'll take it.
You take that.
Yep. Turn it off. There you go.
There's a guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can see. You know, we've got this apartment that overlooks Times Square, and it's beautiful and it's amazing.
Yeah.
I can see from here all the way down Fifth and Main. And there's a guy, almost like a spectral apparition.
Yeah.
Ripping up Fifth and Main. I feel compelled to say this. It's time for a peek in what we affectionately call Stingray's Boot. What's nestled between some counterfeit nappies and a dodgy copy of Battle for Endor this week. These are the new release highlights for the week, March 15th to March 21st, 2021. Listeners, these are out on digital, physical, will be by the time's podcast in your feed, but could be. Bobby, I feel compelled to say, could be region dependent.
Could be. Which I just understood now.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. You know, NSTC, I think, and then PAL.
Oh, all that. Yeah.
Whatever the other one is. Yeah, I just realized, I thought that was, you know, a thing of the past.
No.
It's still, that's right. Yeah, it's still a thing.
Have you picked a game?
Sadly, I did.
I feel compelled to ask the woman who gave birth to me if I can pick one of these games out of here.
Yeah.
Do you think she'll let us?
I mean, well, he's here for a reason, right?
I like to imagine as well that they're generous enough to let us have a VHS out of this boot as well.
Yeah, there's a, like, you pull down the back flap and there's some VHS tapes in there.
Oh, no, not those. The other, the more normal ones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going for the, okay.
Okay.
Sorry. I'll
go first. Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning Switch, March 16th. The hit RPG returns, remastered with stunning visuals and refined gameplay. Re-Reckoning delivers intense, customizable RPG combat inside a sprawling game world.
Imagine getting wrecked and then getting re-wrecked.
Hmm.
That's crazy. I think I'd pick that game. I think for the Switch, it'll be good.
Got to be.
Yeah.
What next?
Mundane. For the PC, PS4, Xbox One, March 16th, Mundane is a lovely hand-penciled horror tale set in a dark, secluded valley of the Alps. Explore various areas full of secrets to discover, survive hostile encounters, drive vehicles, fill your inventory, and solve a variety of handcrafted puzzles.
Sounds interesting.
It does.
Samurai Showdown. Xbox Series X, March 16th. Samurai Showdown SE boasts 120 FPS in a game where every frame matters. This upgrade alone is worth it. Owners of the Xbox One version can make use of smart delivery and can play the Series S/X version without paying any extra money. Furthermore, DLC will be transferable as well, so you'll be set to enjoy next gen.
Nice. This one is called, up next is Stubbs the Zombie.
This might be Rebel, my mummy.
Without a pulse. It sounds interesting now. Mm. March 16th. Be the zombie. Kick butt. And take brains.
Wow. Okay, that was my...
Yeah, I like it to the point.
Cartel Tycoon, PC, March 18th. We'll call this El Bucho Simulator.
100%.
Cartel Tycoon is a survival-based sim inspired by the 80s narco trade. Expand and conquer, fight off rival cartels, and evade the authorities. Earn people's earn people's loyalty, and strive to overcome the doomed fate of the power-hungry drug lord. Greater realism, redesigned environments. I reckon that last line, all new pace notes for total immersion. I can't quite remember, but something tells me that's a badly clipped line from a WRC game.
Could be, but I'll tell you this, if you can't design your character with a mullet, I'm out.
Oh, that's got to be the default hair, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be. Up next, we have, I don't know if it's Dark or just D-A-R-Q. Who knows?
I think it's trying to be edgy and be both.
It's trying to be edgy. Dark Complete Edition. For the Switch, March 18th, Dark tells the story of Lloyd, a boy who finds himself in the middle of a lucid nightmare. Unable to wake up, Lloyd has to face his fears and decipher the meaning of the dream. So it's like in a dark. It's a dark setting. Makes sense. Yeah. Like the game Too Dark. Ironically, the game is dark. But some have complained it's too dark, which, you know.
How funny is that?
Makes sense.
Pile Up, Box by Box, PC, March 18th. Pile Up ticks all the right boxes. A family-friendly, cooperative 3D platformer. Jump up, slide down, play together, and carry the load.
Or you could play Jenga. Up next, we have Can't Drive This. PC, wow. PS5, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, March 19th.
Everything.
Race everything, except for Stadia. Race your monster truck while your friend builds the road. Go too slow and you'll explode. And yes, it's as chaotic as it sounds, especially in four-player split screen. This sounds interesting. Not going to lie.
That does actually. And the fact that it rhymes as well. You got it to rhyme. Yeah. Race your monster truck while your friend builds the road. Go too slow and you'll explode. It's got feeling
it's
to
got,
it.
It's got feeling to it, for sure.
Plants vs. Zombies, Battle for the Neighborville, Switch, March 19th. Kick some grass in Plants vs. Zombies for Neighborville, the wackiest shooter ever. Kick some grass, see what they've done there.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
What's your VA? Which is your mummy, by the way?
Oh, that was Amular, Kingdom of Amular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going to pick that.
You read mine and I read yours.
Yeah, pretty much.
If only we remember to say it the right way around.
That's what I'm saying.
It's fine.
My VHS fine. Tape?
Yeah.
Predator.
Great yep. pick.
Yeah.
Do you know what mine is? Now all the Christmas furore's died down. I'm going to watch Die Hard.
For the first time?
I don't even know what it is. It's this new film out with Bruce Willis. He plays a cop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can relate. I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm going for.
I like it.
He's gone. I don't even know who he was, but he's gone. And I can never remember his face anyway. He's strange like that.
I'll tell you what I won't forget.
What's
he
that?
Had little, those Daisy Dukes were a little bit too high for me.
He wears Daisy Dukes in your world.
Yeah. Well, at least last time I remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I can't forget that image.
I remember I posed a question a while back. Mm-hmm. Probably, maybe. Let's face it, the way the show kicked off and has gone, I don't even remember.
Who knows?
But I feel I want to find out what you're hoping to play.
I would like to... I'm definitely going to play to the fourth level of Marvel Avengers and then, you know, delete it.
The game you hated, you're going to play again just to get a piece of digital trophy.
Yeah.
That's what I like about you. You
do what I do, bro.
Yeah.
And then Sniper Elite 4. And We Were Here Together. That's what I would like to do. And also, Eva wants to play Bowser's Fury.
Mm.
But Eva is not an open 3D world type of gamer.
Oh, no.
Because she doesn't know how to use the camera.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to play it for her, and she's going to be second player.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
she's really just, she can't do it. I mean, she's running straight, but the camera's behind her. I'm not sure what's going on. It's
that
not
a cinematic. Work.
It doesn't work.
Oh.
Yeah, I have to play it, so it's no big deal.
Nice couples game.
Yeah, once you can control the camera, Eva, she's done. Doesn't know what's going on.
Okay.
So that's my plan. What about yours?
Little Big Planet 2.
Okay.
Fiddle with some PSPs. I keep threatening Persona 5, but I don't know. Has it beat me already? Probably not.
Probably not.
It'll happen. Other than that, I think I've forgotten what I've been playing, and therefore I've forgotten what I've been hoping to play. Do you think that's all we have time for this week, listeners?
Probably. I think you hit that button one too many times.
As always, thank you for your time. I look forward to the pleasure of speaking to you again next week. Until then, happy gaming. Remember, there's nothing wrong with being given... I mean, what does this even say?
I think it says the unofficial controller.
What's that?
It's the controller you give to your second player that you don't want him to touch your real controller.
That makes sense. That's really deep now when I think about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great idea for a podcast.
It is. Well, I guess that is all we've got time for this week, listeners. Thank you, as always, for the time. Pleasure speaking to you again this week. Until then, happy gaming. Remember, there's nothing wrong begin. Forget it. See you next time, Bobby.
Peace out.
Hi, it's George here from the Unofficial Controller Podcast. Just taking a moment to, first of all, thank you for listening. It means a hell of a lot to us. Secondly, every week we bring you free content, the latest news, the new releases, a feature of note, normally something to do with games or gaming past, be it one of our History of documentaries or an insight into the industry itself or how games have affected us as people. Well, yes, we incorporate you, listeners, into that. All we ask is that you drop a little comment on our post on social media and you can get featured on the show. Hey, do you know what? You may even win a prize. The only charge for this is £0, zero pence, $0. That's right, no money. But all we ask is that you like, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you found this show. And if you're feeling a little bit cheeky, tell a friend, get them to do the same. We have a Discord that's free for you guys to all join in and get involved in. And the community on Instagram and Twitter is alive and thriving. So don't be a lonely gamer. Make yourself known. Thank you. And now it's time to begin this week's entertainment. Take care, guys.